The cyber landscape is constantly evolving, creating new challenges and opportunities to defend against sophisticated attacks. At Northrop Grumman, we provide a wide range of capabilities to stay ahead of these threats. To learn more, visit northropgrumman.com/cyber.
Welcome to the Defense and Aerospace Report's weekly cyber report sponsored by Northrop Grumman. I'm your host, Vago Maradian. Later in the program, how the Army is testing cybersecurity under real-world field conditions. But first, joining us now is Jim Conroy, the Vice President at Northrop Grumman's Emerging Systems and Strategic Initiatives in the Navigation, Targeting, and Survivability Division. Jim, great to have you on the program.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
An absolute pleasure. And before we get started, our daily podcast is sponsored by Bell. Leonardo DRS sponsors our global coverage. Fincantieri Marinette Marine sponsors our coverage of naval warfare. General Atomics Aeronautical Systems sponsors our coverage of strategy. And Beretta USA sponsors our land warfare coverage. Jim, two key elements of the Pentagon strategy for a more effective distributed force is, or I should say maybe, are the internet or internets of military things that are all composed of open architecture systems, whether to gather intelligence, whether for strike, whether for presence. That holds an enormous number of advantages, but it also creates a whole series of vulnerabilities, as we're finding out in commercial life. And then the challenge gets even more profound for airborne systems, where you are very susceptible to electronic interference, whether it's jamming or spoofing. What's the right approach to securing these new military internets of things, especially airborne ones?
Well, it's absolutely critical to the customer community to really have this highly networked and agile force. And this is really enabling them to make sure that they have the right information at the right location to make informed decisions as they go forward. I mean, based upon our marquee survivability systems, such as our laser-based PERCOM systems and others, cybersecurity is always at the fundamental key aspect of the design and that architecture. I mean, to achieve this type of internet of military things, you need to be able to have that network and exchange of data that is based upon an architecture that's open, safe, and secure. And that security is really focusing on that cybersecurity. The cybersecurity is what really enables us to take and be able to incorporate third-party applications or third-party content in a trusted fashion. And trust is critical there because you're going to take that information that comes from that third party and provide it to a flight crew, and they're going to make the decisions on it. And if it's not trusted, they can make decisions on data that's not accurate or is not valid. So you want to make sure that you have that cybersecurity in there that really allows the trusted information to be provided to the flight crews.
What's the key to doing that? Both that, right? I mean, so you have a challenge architecturally, right? Because right in this community, as you said, right, there's third-party data that's involved, right? I mean, gone are the days where Northrop Grumman is the integrator for all of this. Sort of the entire pyramid is within Northrop Grumman with an air gap and 8-inch disks that are hard to penetrate, right? There are a lot of other people's systems that are going to be in these from smaller contractors all the way up to the biggest ones. What has to happen on an individual component level? What has to happen on a systems level?
So security has to be at the forefront of one's mind at day one. It can't be something that's going to be added at the very end. So that's why when we talk about the architecture and security, it's right as a key tenant, right after or right next to open and safe, right? Because you need the open so you can bring in the third party. You need the safety to make sure that people understand that this is going to be a flight critical application, but you also need the security right there. And it starts at the forefront. It has to go all the way through the global supply chain. It has to go through the validation and verification and ensuring that it's something that is a trusted application that can then provide the information going forward.
How do you handle, I know that this gets very classified, but I have an example from a foreign military where somebody found that their platform had been spoofed and that their platform was off, not a lot, but just enough that its entire weapons platform was misaligned, right? So in the event that it would have deployed weapons, those weapons would have missed all their targets by enough to make them ineffective, right? It took a little bit of work. They resolved what their position was. They realigned their platform. They were fine. There are other folks who've discussed SCADA vulnerabilities were at a subsystems level. You know, as a lot of folks have told me, right? The avionic or the naval system or even the ground system looks very, very military on the outside, but on the inside has a lot of commercial componentry in it where applicable, right? At the end of the day, how do you make sure that you're in real time verifying the data, right? Because the worst would be that whatever I'm entering is being altered as I'm entering it, right? For example, into my navigating computer or combat system. How do you make sure that you're verifying this data on a real-time basis?
So I think there's multiple aspects to that question. One of them is how you architect the system as far as where you put your processing. Different people have different philosophies as far as doing distributed processing or doing centralized processing. Me personally, I'd say centralized processing is going to be a stronger solution. And the reason being is every access point to your processing could be effectively another vulnerability or another attack vector. So having a central processing is a critical aspect. But then when you have to go outside of that central processing and you have to talk to other systems, how do you take and make sure that you have validated confirmation or communications? How do you make sure that they're trusted communications? And I almost use the analogy of like a VPN type of a system. You think about VPNs, virtual private networks, and everyone working in these remote environments now is using a VPN to talk to their company's servers. But how do they do that over the internet in a trusted fashion? Well, it's that virtual private network where you have encrypted communications between the remote location and that central processing, such that anyone who's looking at it from the outside, even though it's going over the internet, doesn't know what's being communicated, and you're able to validate the communication between those two points.
How do you tackle the third-party challenge of this, right? I know that the modular open systems architecture approach, and we're going to talk about the U.S. Army's approach, right? I mean, that core is a U.S. Army architecture, for example, that's on the UH-60V, which you're partnered with Sikorsky on that effort. How do you make sure that the third, like, what's the process we need to use with third-party data, third-party software, third-party systems? Because this is sort of everybody in the pool, right?
Absolutely. It's about making sure that you can bring the best of breed to the warfighter at a speed that's needed by the warfighter, because the Army's requirements are going to continuously evolve and mature over time. And what you're developing today, you want to be able to be extensible and adaptable for the future. So you need that openness, but you need to do it when in a balance with security. All right. So we are providing that architecture for the Army, and the Army owns it, that is open, safe, and secure. And we're doing that independent of the OEMs. So we're not working with Sikorsky on it. We're actually the ones providing it to the Army. And it's been demonstrated to be extensible and really to be a risk reduction for their future vertical lift fleet. So we're very proud of all the work that the team has done in supporting the Army and being a partner with the Army. And we think that it's really positioning the Army to go further and to be ready for the future fights that they're going to encounter. Now, how we take in actually work with the third parties, it really gets into that validation and the verification activities associated with it. We need to take and make sure that we can test those applications, validate them, ensure that they're doing the work they need to do, and then taking and allow them to take and be employed operationally, and then continue to monitor them and ensure that they're doing what we're expecting, when they're expecting, and not having any unexpected or unintended consequences on the rest of the system.
You answered the question, by the way, right? I was going to ask you about how you balance the benefits of openness with security. Let me ask you about a relationship question, right? I mean, at the end of the day, what the Army and each of the military services are trying to do, it ends up becoming a little bit fraught, right? Because the expectations and the goals of the Army are a little bit different than what the expectations of the goals are of contractors, Northrop Grumman. I mean, as much as everybody wants to make sure that there are good relations, you get into data, some proprietary information at the end of the day that can cause friction and tension in a relationship. What's the right approach? What's the approach you guys are using to make sure that the relationship stays stays positive and constructive at the end of the day.
So I, with all due respect, Bago, I don't know if we're disconnected with our partners or with our customers. And ultimately, we both want to make sure that the warfighters come home safe. They're the ones going out in harm's way. They're the ones protecting our freedoms. And our primary mission is to make sure we're supporting them and we're enabling them to come back to their families safe. And when we think about it in that type of context, it's a matter of how we do that. And we do it in the most ethical way possible and with the highest degree of integrity, because those are key tenets of everybody at Northrop Grumman. So it's supporting the warfare. Now, how we do the business cases, yeah, that's something that we have to constantly work with our customers on, how we have the business case. And we need to make sure there's a viable business case there. But I don't think that proprietary locking down systems and precluding the customers from being able to support the warfighters is the right solution. So what you're seeing is Northrop Grumman being a partner with the customers and really being a shepherd of this modular, open, safe, secure architecture that is enabling the customer, in this case, the Army, to do what they need to do and not to hold them hostage.
It really is an extraordinary transformation, I think, across the industry. And I wasn't suggesting that you guys had any tension, but I remember these debates from years past becoming somewhat acrimonious. And I think that it's incredible the transformation we've seen, across industry, and certainly the attitude of the customer in regards to the relationships they're trying to have, right? The open and constructive relationships they're trying to have with industry as well. Let me take you to where do you think we're going to be in 5 years' time, Jim? I mean, this approach is moving very quickly. There are folks, as you said, who are concerned about the security aspect of it. Certainly concerned that we're going into a very electromagnetically contested environment. Where do you think we're going to be in 5 years? And what do you think are going to be the most important things to bear in mind over those 5 years to make sure that whatever we do field are both secure and open?
In 5 years, I think that the speed of change is just going to increase. We are living in a very dynamic environment, and change is a constant. And the rate of change is just going to continue to accelerate. So I think that we need to be positioning ourselves to be able to adapt to that change in a very meaningful way. So the need for solutions that are extensible and agile are going to be critical. I think that you're hearing things like digital transformation and digital twins, as well as modernization of our air vehicles. Those are going to continue, and they're just going to continue to an ever increasing rate of change, because the threat environment is changing at that speed and we need to keep pace. I mean, right now, Northrop Grumman is the only provider of a verifiable MOSA architecture that's flying on an Army platform right now with 60 Victor. And I expect that we will just continue to show how it's a risk reduction for the future vertical lift fleet, as well as how we will continue to show how it's agile and able to incorporate third-party type applications and capabilities that are needed by the warfighter.
Jim, thanks very much for bringing future vertical lift into it, because obviously, right, it's new platforms also that have these requirements from the outset that are making a difference. And I know that all the competitors, our sponsor, Bell, but as well as Boeing, and Boeing and Sikorsky are all focused on exactly the same kind of cybersecurity at the end of the day, which is kind of a fundamental service requirement. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Enjoyed the conversation and look forward to having you back on again in the future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, sir.
And joining us now is Andrea Schaumann, the Federal Operations Deputy at Fortress Information Security, who participated in the recent Army exercise at Fort AP Hill that ended on March 19, a 5-day exercise to run cyber products through the grueling technical support and operational analysis run by the Army's Combat Capabilities Development Command. 165 products and ideas were submitted to the Army for testing, and Fortress's File Integrity Assurance Module was among 20 products and ideas that were selected. The company trained soldiers how to use the module designed to detect malware in real time as it was being attacked by a red team from the Joint Vulnerability Assessment Branch. Andrea, congratulations and happy Greek bicentennial to you.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Kalimera for the bicentennial, and a little bit of Greek for you.
Absolutely. I'm going to get to your, you know, how you guys performed in a minute. I want to build some suspense before the reveal. That's a key element of drama. But first, tell us about the exercise and why it was so different and why it's so unique, in fact.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So one of the things, you know, when we develop any sort of tech is it's done in the lab by tech experts. And this presented a unique opportunity to test it in a high fidelity environment. So taking it out, using it in a real world scenario, putting it in soldiers' hands where you maybe don't have Fortress experts right there to troubleshoot things if anything happens to go wrong or doesn't perform the way you expect. So this was the great opportunity to stress test the technology we've been developing and use it in a real world application. So sort of a demo in the dirt, as you say.
So it was a little bit different than your normal office environment.
It was a little bit different. So I am based out of sunny Orlando, Florida, and we went up to Fort AP Hill in Virginia, where it was a bit cooler. It was around 40 degrees and raining, but we had a great time. The Army did really provide a comfortable training environment for the attendees. So we were in a large tent, but it was warm and everybody was really hospitable. So it was good.
So how did you guys do?
Well, we did really well. We were unscathed. It was a virtual attack by the red team. There was a really highly skilled JVAB red team based out of Tampa, Florida here. And our file integrity assurance module performed exactly as it was supposed to. It performed perfectly in both scenarios. The red team did get in and maliciously modify two different files that the Army was using, and our file integrity assurance module flagged it immediately. It notified the end users in near real time, which is critical, and then isolated the compromised file. And so that means that it thwarted the attempted attack. We were able to compartmentalize that, and they weren't able to get away with anything.
You know, without getting too deep technically into this, right? I mean, one of the things that we find in almost every one of these intrusions, you know, the hard trick is tracking these vulnerabilities in real time. We've seen whether it's SolarWinds or Hafnium, right? It's been months before we uncover a penetration. And that was right. The same thing. I mean, it was the exact same story 15 years ago, actually, if you go back and talk to folks about it. I mean, what's the key to real time detection, especially in the field?
Yeah, well, I mean, you make a great point. So the real-time notification is what's important. So it's a bit like, you know, having the cameras installed in a home and being able to see if there's a home invasion happening versus arriving home after a long vacation. And then you just sort of see the aftermath and the extent of the damage. So typically there's logging and you can see the hashes and things. But in this instance, the real-time alert meant that the end users could compartmentalize the files before any real damage was done to the event, and it was able to proceed as normal. So in this instance, it was a training event, and the files that were compromised were part of the morning brief. So it was a slide deck that had been poisoned. But you know, you can see that it has really strong real-world implications out in the field where the lives of the warfighter are at stake.
You know, we heard a little bit from Jim Conroy of Northrop Grumman at the top of the show about this sort of balance between openness and maintaining security under field conditions. You know, theirs is from airborne, you know, protecting digital avionics from spoofing right, alteration of information, right? I mean, so it's bad if there's malware installed in it that obviously, you know, serves as a backdoor, but then also, you know, tampering with data. You know, we talked a little bit about some of the challenges in, you know, operating in the field. I mean, you said you guys were in a somewhat comfy tent, so that makes it, you know, a little bit less miserable, but not as good as being, you know, in a comfortable office park somewhere with abundant drinks, snacks, takeout, and air conditioning.
Right,
but what are some of the unique challenges and the importance of doing these operational tests? I mean, you know, the key to this was you training the soldiers and the soldiers making believe you weren't there. But what are some of the other challenges that you face in that kind of field operating environment? Because, you know, it's interesting, you know, you're mentioning this because most often a lot of these systems aren't really tested in the field. They're tested in secure facilities.
That's right. And cyber ranges. Tested. Right. And they're tested not only in secure facilities or in, you know, in labs or like you said, cushy offices, but they're being tested by the folks who are designing them, which means that there is the design can feel very intuitive because it's the person who created it. You know, or they understand how to troubleshoot it because they created the tool versus handing it off to somebody. You need to make sure that that downrange training burden is low. So, you know, not just the initial soldier who's receiving the tool to use it, but then also when they pass it along downrange, you know, is it intuitive in design and did the instructions make sense? You know, I mentioned that we were in a tent, but the soldiers that were using the file integrity assurance module were performing in a high fidelity training scenario. So they were in a remote location. They were not with us. You know, we went through a very brief training ops with them on Monday morning. It was just a little over an hour long. And then we handed over a tough book and then they continued to run it without us. And those types of constraints are really important because you have to understand that the connectivity is not necessarily going to be there. They're not necessarily going to have the tech support if they're out in the field and they're, you know, in a mission critical location that's maybe classified. So they don't have the ability to ping back data into a help or tech support area. Connectivity is possibly limited. So you don't want to rely on Wi-Fi or cloud-based services or anything like that. And then there's also just physical constraints. Are the laptop that they're using, are they also secure?
And so now that these exercises are over and you guys did well, what's next?
Well, it's actually really exciting. We are currently playing a critical role in the future of our nation's national defense and cybersecurity. So when you ask what's next, it's such a huge question. Fortress has a lot of opportunities and a lot of conversations going right now, not just as a result of the TSOA event, but with other agencies and divisions within the Department of Defense and the Federal Industrial Complex. So we're really working with our multiple solutions on how to deliver solutions to the warfighter and not only protecting file integrity assurance, but also the nation's supply chain, cybersecurity, and the attendant data around that. You know, particularly with this event, it was collaborative in nature, and we're very lucky in that. A lot of the events where you have vendors go out and demonstrating, particularly in the cyber and tech industry, it's very competitive. This instead was collaborative in nature. So it gave the 20 selected attendees, we were down selected from nearly 200. It gave us an opportunity to really work together in developing our tools and how we could support each other in supporting the different missions of the Army.
Andrea, thanks so much for joining us. Echaristo, and happy Greek bicentennial to the Greek-American community as well as the great Hellenic Republic. And looking forward to having you guys on again. Best of luck. Congratulations. And hope to talk to you again soon.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here. I really enjoyed speaking with you. Have a great afternoon.
Everyone is a contributor at Northrop Grumman, and every day is an opportunity to help defend our nation and our allies. Visit our careers page at ngc.com to learn about joining the Cyber and Intelligence Mission Solutions team.